From Letters from an American, Heather Cox Richardson, May 11, 2026, the story of the Trump mobile phone seems a microcosm of the Trump administration, as Judd Legum of Popular Information explains. On June 16, 2025, Trump's sons Donald Jr. and Eric announced the launch of a new, gold-plated, Trump smartphone, proudly designed and built in the United States. It would be available in August 2025 for $499. Don Jr. said the phone would be American hardware, built in America, without the potential of a backdoor into the hardware that some of our adversaries have installed in there. And yet a disclaimer on the website said the Trumps and the Trump Organization were involved only in the branding of the phone. They had nothing to do with the design, development, manufacture, distribution, or sales of the item. As Legum notes, the idea of a superior U.S.-made phone was always a fantasy, and within 2 weeks the phone's description changed from made in the U.S. to designed with American values in mind. The phone never shipped, and on April 6, Trump Mobile updated its terms to say the $100 deposit was not actually a deposit for a pre-order, but rather a conditional opportunity if Trump Mobile later elects, in its sole discretion, to offer the device for sale. It went on to say the deposit does not lock in pricing, promotions, service plans, taxes, fees, shipping costs, or other commercial terms, and that estimated ship dates, launch timelines, or anticipated production schedule are non-binding estimates only. A new phone has recently gotten clearance from the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, and Trump Mobile executives say they are waiting for approval from T-Mobile, a company whose network Trump Mobile wants to use. Its website urged customers to pre-order the phone by depositing $100 toward it. Legum points out that T-Mobile relies on the federal government for approval for business activities, creating an enormous conflict of interest. He could maintain that image thanks to the people who covered for him: his father, Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg, and in his first presidential term as Sidney Blumenthal reminded readers in The Guardian today, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Secretary of Defense Yves Mattis, who filtered the options Trump received, Chief of Staff General John Kelly, who made a pact with Mattis that one of them would always stay in the country to stand in the way of Trump's impulses, and National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, who stopped Trump from signing disastrous executive orders, sometimes going so far as to steal them off his desk. Over the weekend, Trump took to social media to complain bitterly about the demise of his tariffs, about Iran, and about political opponents, to boast about his changes to the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and about the Ultimate Fighting Championship UFC mixed martial arts event he plans to host in front of the White House on his 80th birthday, and to try, once again, to project dominance. Trump complained twice that in its decision declaring his Liberation Day tariffs of April 2025 unconstitutional, the Supreme Court had not included a sentence saying, "Any money paid to the United States of America does not have to be paid back." That sentence, he insisted, would have saved America $159 billion. He complained about his Supreme Court appointees Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and suggested he should pack the court. Donald Trump has always ridden to power by projecting an image of dominance. In Trump's second term, though, those people who curbed his worst impulses have been replaced with yes-men, and there is no one to protect him from the fallout. They have to do the right thing, but it's really okay for them to be loyal to the person that appointed them to almost the highest position in the land, that is, a justice of the United States Supreme Court. He warned them to vote his way on the question of birthright citizenship because a negative ruling on birthright citizenship, on top of the recent Supreme Court tariff catastrophe, is not economically sustainable for the United States of America. On Saturday morning, the president's social media account posted images of exploding Iranian drones beside an image of blue butterflies YTH the caption "drones dropping like butterflies." Then it posted another image of a U.S. vessel shooting down drones with the caption "bye-bye, drones." Then it showed a flotilla of ships with Iranian flags on the surface of the ocean under the caption "Obama/Biden" beside an image of those ships on the bottom of the ocean under the caption "Trump." Then it showed an image of Trump on the bridge of a ship watching Iranian ships exploding. "I'm working so hard to make America great again, and then people that I appointed have shown so little respect to our country and its people. What is the reason for this?" Then it showed another image of Iran's navy on the ocean floor. The account posted a long screed about the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action JCPOA, the 2015 agreement between Iran and the U.S., United Kingdom, China, France, Germany, Russia, and the European Union to limit Iran's nuclear program in exchange for relief from sanctions. Pritzker gorging on junk food under the caption JB is too busy to keep Chicago safe. It posted two clips of former FBI Director James Comey, whom the Department of Justice under Trump has criminally charged for posting a photograph of seashells spelling out 8,647. Trump called him a dirty cop, exclamation he went after California Representative Ro Khanna and warned. The radical left Democrats must fail, our country is at stake. Trump's account posted two AI images of a UFC fight surrounded by a stadium-style audience in front of the White House. Trump pulled the U.S. out of the JCPOA in 2018, and this weekend Trump rehashed false right-wing talking points about the deal to claim that former President Barack Obama was a weak and stupid American president who worked for Iran. Trump's account posted an AI image of Illinois Governor J.B., then it posted five images of the Washington, D.C. reflecting pool colored electric blue, one of which claimed Trump had renovated it in a week for just $2 million. A number of posts championed his proposed ballroom on the site where he bulldozed the east wing of the White House. Thank you. He reposted stories saying that he had delivered remarkable leadership and is master of the deal, that he is one of the top three presidents in U.S. history, or without a doubt the greatest president we have ever known. A number of posts called him the greatest of all time. But, Jay, just as with Trump Mobile, the clock is running out and the advertising isn't working. On May 7, Catherine Rampell of The Bulwark called Trump an economic serial killer, whacking firms left and right. She noted that Trump's tariffs, along with deportations of farm workers and canceling of foreign food aid programs, led farm bankruptcies to rise 46% in 2025 from the previous year, and now higher costs for diesel, fertilizer, and other products because of the Iran war are putting farmers under even more pressure. But by far the most frequent postings on the president's social media account over the weekend were praise for Trump himself. In addition to posting excellent poll numbers, similarly, tariffs have cut into manufacturing jobs, and corporate bankruptcies last year were at their highest level in more than a decade. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is paying almost $2 billion to stop wind projects and has canceled or stalled dozens of other renewable energy products. Customs and Border Protection is supposed to issue tariff refunds beginning on May 12. But the money will not go to consumers. It will go to the trade community. Trump's war on Iran, undertaken alongside Israel, has not delivered the fast regime change Trump promised, either. Instead, it has mired Tehran.